just a double again. I want to see a triple doink. It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
It's double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
Doink. A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Here we are, double doinks and sackles.
Oh, we're going to start like this? Yes. Teaching you how to football.
I'm trying. I think I'm trying to teach you how to football.
I think you're actually doing now.
I think I'm trying, man. I think this is actually a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, this is a legitimate conversation.
My name is Travis.
I'm Jimmy G, the stat boy.
Hey, Alexa, stop. Dude, I would play that song literally on repeat.
We would just keep going, and people wonder why we'd play it.
So good.
But
actually, that's a good starting point for the rest of the podcast, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of saving
that. I just tried to drink a beer, and that's not open.
Can you tell? It's almost 2 in the morning.
I just tried to drink a beer, that's not open.
You almost try to suck off the beer without it's open.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
But can you teach me how to beer?
Apparently, it's too late to teach you how to beer now.
My name is Travis.
Jimmy G, the stat boy,
there
here.
There he is. Give yourself your own name. Andrew. Andrew's here. Andrew's here. We're sitting here talking.
Andrew Lee, the stat boy.
We're sitting here talking on the eve of the NFC and the AFC Championship games.
Actually, it's about to happen in about 10 hours.
On the post-eve of the NFC and AFC Championship games. No, Yoshimi versus the Robots versus the Pink Robots.
It's a solid song. Part solid one song.
By the Flaming Lips. Which, once again, I'm not sure if that's dad rock or not.
It's dad rock. If you enjoyed it as a 20-something.
Okay, listen, hear me out.
Are we going to dovetail from this now? Okay, yeah.
A little bit. Would you like to keep me on schedule?
No, that's fine.
You thought we were going to record a podcast at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It is going to be a little disjointed, but yes.
Be a little drunk.
Yes.
A little drunk.
A little.
Un poquito.
Un poquitito.
As the journalists would say. You thought that you'd get me and we would be on point.
No.
So you have one of two options. You either keep me on point or you let the man cook. What would you like to do?
Cook, sir. Cook.
Oh, then there we go. We're going to cook. All right, listen. Yoshimi versus Pink Robots, I think, is a great... I mean, we just watched the Royal Rumble tonight. By the way, props to Fair Play. I thought it was a really good event. Yes?
Yes, very much so.
You're not as much into the WWE as I am.
No, I used to.
We're not even going to get into the Vince McMahon stuff like that. But... For entertainment
purposes. That's a different podcast.
As a whole, different podcast. Yeah, that's a different podcast. If you want to record that podcast, we can. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But to actually say it, I mean, like, it was a very entertaining Royal Rumble, yes?
It was, very much so.
Yeah,
Royal Rumbles are always good.
I thought it was good. The bar, Fair Play at North Park, we're going to cut in our commercial on that one. Sprinkles? You're not part of this conversation. Cutting in with the way they had the sound on and stuff like that. I thought it was very entertaining.
First time I ever watched a WWE event in a bar with full sound, like it was a sporting event.
And what did you think of it?
And I feel like that's a lost opportunity.
Dude, right?
That's fun though.
It was
that
so
way.
Fun. Like, I mean, how many people had their fingers up? How many people were like pounding on the table? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a good time. So regardless of that, like I told you earlier tonight, I was coming off like a big high after a big low this week. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I unfortunately, for all of our two listeners out there that may or may not already know, have herniated disc in my neck, right between the C6 and the C7 spine. So I had a rough week this week.
Yeah.
But I told Jimmy G the Sad Boy / Andrew. This weekend seemed like a really good weekend for sports for me, because you get the Royal Rumble, which is always fun. I don't care if you watch wrestling or you don't watch wrestling. The Royal Rumble is such a shit show. What do you watch it? Because so many people come in and do things and yada yada. It was a really good event. And fortunately, fair play. I mean, I don't know, once again, what we were saying, why bars don't do this more of having events like that, especially outside of football season.
Yeah, this is perfect. It's perfect kind of like thing to just rally around, watch.
It was good.
And
it
just
good.
Take in and ask, like I did, is that a jobber? Is that a jobber?
Even
is
the that jobber? Dude, there was a random dude next to me at one point tonight that was like, you know this is fake. I was like, oh, no, it's fake. I was like, I get it. I get it. I hear you.
With a different type of retort.
I know it's scripted, but
remember. So is the NFL.
Well, we'll get there in just a second. Don't lead too far into what we're going to talk about next. But no, but like we were watching Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens,
mm-hmm.
right? Is Kevin Owens' arm or hand really broken? Probably not.
Right. No.
But was Logan Paul's chest like completely welted up and bleeding by the end of the match?
It was
100%.
His face was also a little bit,
you know, I mean,
bleeding too. Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like wrestling scripted, those are still grown ass men that are more talented and more athletic than you and I both are, probably most than our two listeners are too. But like those men are beating the hell out of each other for like over the 30 minutes by this point.
You know, I find it more interesting watching Logan Paul do this than his other things that I've seen in video that exist apparently. But yes.
Well, and there we start. Here we are. Welcome to Double Doing the Tackles.
Yep.
Teaching you how to football. Let's get into it.
What do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about maybe the take-home message from the divisional? Like, we had the Ravens win against a Texans team. Let's maybe start with that.
Sure.
I don't think new ground was discovered there. The Ravens are a good team. And maybe the Texans were a little bit outmatched. Because I didn't find them, based on the score and based on how the game played out, that the Texans pretty much realized that this was going to be a tough game for them.
No, I think the AFC South was definitely outmatched this year. The team that should have won it from the beginning of the season was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's not coming from a place of like bias or anything like that. They were the better team on paper coming into the season. Yes?
Yeah. At one point, yeah.
Based off everything that C.J. Stroud played out of his mind, it's probably better that the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't make the playoffs this year because it probably would have been terrible.
Would have been a little rough, yeah.
But regardless of that, the Baltimore Ravens were certainly the better team on paper and on the field that day. So I don't think there's a whole lot to say about that. I mean, I think C.J. Stroud still played admirably. I think that team, I think the coaching staff, I think the young talent, that's a young team. Dude, I mean, like, what is it? Tank Dell, Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud, like these dudes are like first and second year players.
Noah Brown is a journeyman player that also helps that team too.
Yeah, 100%. Schultz
is a good team player.
He's there as well. I mean, you're looking at the Texans, right, with probably both what I believe should be the coach of the year.
Yeah, I agree.
The only argument that you would have against me for coach of the year would be Kevin Stefanski by that point.
Yeah, he played and made that team overachieve far more than we expected.
I mean, he took a dude off the couch that hasn't played for over half a year or a year and a half at this point.
Who's now wanting to take a nap on the couch.
Who might be the GOAT. He wasn't because obviously he got beat. But, no, you have Rookie of the Year. I mean, so Rookie of the Year comes down to, this is a conversation we haven't had yet, Rookie of the Year comes down to either C.J. Stroud as a quarterback, so you automatically get like 15, like, you know, bonus points for Gryffindor by that point, as opposed to the wide receiver, who would be Puka Nacua, who also has a legitimate argument for Rookie of the Year by that point. But it's going to go to the quarterback.
Yeah, usually does. MVP, offensive player. But most of the time.
But, I mean, like, thinking about, like, what both of them did, and I'm not trying to demonize either one of them, do you believe that Puka Nacua deserves Rookie of the Year over C.J. Stroud?
Yes, based on his production, he set a new rookie record, receiving record, and I would compare him to other rookies trying to latch on and trying to be as productive as Puka that no one really has, and Puka took his opportunity and played like a veteran, catching balls, catching, converting on plays, being, dare I say, Stafford's go-to guy now over Cooper Kupp now, possibly. Because he got the volume and he got the yardage and he just would convert, and he was targeted so many times. And I feel like Stafford trusted him to be able to do that.
So, C.J. Stroud didn't, like, break any rookie records this year, right? He definitely led all rookies with 4,108 yards passing and 23 touchdowns. Puka Nacua, like, legitimately broke records this year.
Yeah.
Most receptions for a wide receiver as a rookie with 105. I mean, I think, what was Michael Thomas's record that he did? It was, like, 126 or something like that.
Something like that.
It was something like close, right? Let me just look it up.
But he's more of like a volume receiver, as opposed to Puka was always just getting the first downs enough to just kind of move the sticks, and he did store his touchdowns also. But Puka really, really kind of, whenever he was there, you rarely hear him about dropping, like MVS, Kadarius Toney, random players like that. They would always, always do that.
So, Michael Thomas broke the record for the most receptions in the league. Do you want to take a guess on what the number is? I haven't
heard. At least 100 or 110, something like that. It's
way over 110. Not way over. It's over 110.
Let's say like 130 receptions.
149 receptions for the league.
Wow.
With 1,725 yards receiving. 9 touchdowns.
So, yeah. And Puka got more than that?
Puka had 105 receptions this year.
Mm-hmm.
With 1,486 yards receiving.
Okay, that makes sense based on that, yeah.
And only 5 touchdown receptions. So he didn't have as many touchdown receptions at that point. But I think there's like a legitimate argument there between C.J. Stroud and Puka Nacua on who could be the rookie of the year. Obviously, it's going to go to C.J. Stroud because he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And obviously, once again, and you know what? You know, I can't actually say that. Let me retract that statement. Both the Texans and the Rams were supposed to be trash this year.
And they both weren't. Yeah. They both end up being not trash. Especially when this is the season the Texans were just trying to understand what their identity was.
Yeah.
And they new coach, surpassed it.
New quarterback.
New playoffs.
New defensive lineman. I mean, yeah. Will Anderson would probably be the defensive player of the year by this point as well, for rookie-wise. But I think there's an argument to be said there about Puka challenging C.J. Stroud. He won't get it. It's the same reason why, like, last year, the dude from the Giants, the head coach.
Dable. Yeah, Brian Dable.
Won the coach of the year over Doug Peterson, even though Doug Peterson took over the Urban Meyer-led Jaguars and brought them back and essentially went farther than the Giants did in the playoffs. But because East Coast bias and bees would lose.
Yeah, it's expectation over result. Expectation versus results.
100%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, congrats to C.J. Stroud. Also, congrats to Puka Nacua, because I think both of them had amazing seasons. Something we haven't seen, obviously, in a long time, since records are broken by this point.
Sure.
But knowing that moving forward now, what do you say?
What were we talking about?
Oh, I was talking about Yoshimi versus the Pink Gorilla. Oh, no, part no, one. No, from no, no. Because I feel like that's...
Oh, yeah, we're talking about how the Texans just weren't better than the Ravens to win that game. And
no, of course they weren't.
I figured that after like maybe half the game, though it was close at halftime, I believe, that then Baltimore pulled away and what we expected happened.
Well, it became very obvious.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the game, I mean, you have to give credit to the Ravens and how good they've been. I have not been a Ravens fan all season. I'm still not a Ravens fan.
We kind of felt like the Ravens were overachieving.
I still think they're overachieving, but that you know, we'll get there in a second. Let's jump forward to other games. Let's jump forward to the Packers versus your Niners.
Oh, that was a fun game. I was nervous, and I wanted to blame the rain, weather, and everything. It reminded me of the Cleveland game very deeply. It was just, what's going on? You snap out of it, and eventually they did. But they had to depend on mistakes by the Packers to do it. Oh, yeah.
So I was watching like a TikTok video the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, TikTok is how the world, you know, survives nowadays. Lets you in on the introspective portion of all of it. I mean, like we were talking earlier about Dad Rock. I'm sorry for our two listeners that are talking about Dad Rock. We were talking about how, like, I don't know how Dad Rock relates to me now.
Yeah.
Even though I am a dad. But, like, when the first song on Dad Rock is This Is the New Year by Dashboard Confessional. Sorry, not Dashboard. By Death Cab for Cutie. When that is the first song on Dad Rock Essentials, like, Death Cab for Cutie is not Dad Rock. And when it's followed by Radiohead's Karma Police, that's still not Dad Rock to me. But when my 19-year-old son asked me if that's Dad Rock because I'm a dad now, from a 19-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old, but that's the music I listen to, then his logic, his circuit logic on it, is that is Dad Rock. Right?
Yeah.
I disagree on half it. It's like the bartender over at Chiba Hut telling me that Yellow Card and Blink-182 is Dad Rock. And don't tell me Blink-182 is Dad Rock. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
No.
I don't want to have that argument tonight.
I think you're trying to say that. However, definition shift, right?
What I'm saying is, like, when the goalposts start shifting on multiple things and everything like that, I have been an outspoken component on Brock Purdy being assistant quarterback for all intents and purposes for the entire season, the past two seasons. Yeah. And you took offense to it earlier on the season. And when I kind of explained my logic on it, saying that Brock Purdy is assistant quarterback, but assistant quarterback's not a bad situation if you're in the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're in the right system. It's not bad being assistant quarterback if you're in the right system. Okay? I watched that man chuck down a lot.
Yeah.
Versus the Packers.
Very much so. Just because he couldn't get a grip on that ball and actually do anything productive for a little bit. Or just overthrowing people and just,
keep coming. Tell me his shortcomings as a Niners fan. Tell me Brock Purdy's shortcomings that you're concerned about moving into the NFC Championship game against the Lions.
Well, based on those shortcomings in that game, he did a lot of mistakes. He made mistakes, maybe weather related, but he eventually made that final drive late in that game and converted and had a touchdown.
But he got into that final drive based off of what happened from the defense.
Stops on the defense, special teams forcing the field goal to go wide, and just keeping everyone in the game, keeping it close.
But there's a reason why everyone wants Brock Purdy to be the next Tom Brady. Right.
Yeah, I guess
they want him to be that late round pick that shows the NFL that, you know, you can get a quarterback there that could lead you there and blah blah. And once again, everything I've said throughout the entire season about, like, system quarterbacks, right?
Yeah,
is nothing like demonizing for Brock Purdy or anything like that. I've said multiple times, Brock Purdy just needs more seasons in the system to become the quarterback that he could become.
And he is a well-seasoned player. He played 4 years in college. He played. Sure. He was always thought that he was actually less than what he was, and he just proved everyone wrong.
But he's played 2 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL is a whole different beast.
Yeah. Right?
So he still needs some more years on him, I mean, it's the same thing I've talked about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence had a terrible first year, but he was under Urban Meyer, right? And I was like, so we just don't count that as Jaguars fans with the Urban Meyer.
I think everyone is not counting it, yeah.
Era, right? And then his second year, he was pretty good, and he kind of regressed a little bit this year. But this year, I think, is like a sophomore slump for Trevor Lawrence, as opposed to taking a first year under Urban Meyer. Brock Purdy still has stats that are comparable, if not beatable, to Jared Goff for the entire season.
Yeah, he has the stats to back up how he plays. Yeah.
He does, 100%. What it comes down to is push comes to shove. I think during games that are closer than what they probably should be, the Niners should have blown out the Packers.
Probably should have.
All day. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
There's no one. All two of our listeners right now, mm-hmm. one and a half of our listeners right now, couldn't sit here face-to-face with me across the table and tell me that Brock Purdy out-dueled Jordan Love in that game. Outside of the last interception that Jordan Love put.
Yeah. Definitely Jordan Love played better. And he definitely.
I'm not saying that Brock Purdy played bad that game.
No.
Jordan Love played a little better.
He did play a little better. He made too many mistakes.
They had a good game plan against you guys. They did those things. Brock Purdy is a checkdown artist right now, but he doesn't make mistakes. Which is, once again, coming back to my system quarterback argument that I'm saying.
Yeah, which should take me into recapping what Ryan Clark said this past week. Where Ryan Clark, on some show, admitted it's taken him all season to find a way to just believe that Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. And he's like, he can't do it because it hurts him to like even say the words or something like that. I don't exactly remember exactly, it's late, what he said, but he pretty much said in a different way that Brock Purdy's a system quarterback and he's not that great.
So,
compared to...
But it's not that bad.
Other quarterbacks out there.
But it's not that bad is where I still sit.
Yeah.
Right. Ryan Clark can say whatever he wants to about it and everything. And obviously, he probably knows more about football than I do at this point. Except my picks on games are definitely better than his are.
Yeah.
And you can look that up. I'll, you know, 3/4% of you guys at this point. But there's an aspect of this to me when it comes down to Brock Purdy and, like, legitimately, like, breaking down his game. Where I think he can get better. There's room to get better.
Yeah.
Because, once again, like, he doesn't make mistakes very much.
No. If I can remember him making
mistakes. Outside of the one game. That Baltimore game. Like 4 or 5 interceptions against Baltimore.
That Baltimore game, he kept making mistakes,
I'll give it to you. Outside of that one game, Brock Purdy is a safe quarterback that lets the players do, lets the team cook, right? That's fair.
True.
I mean, I can tell you right now, if we want to talk quarterback to quarterback, Trevor Lawrence had one of the best passing ratings going over 20 yards this year than any other quarterback in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't make the playoffs.
No.
We didn't get there this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we came back from 27 down last year against the Chargers, but we didn't do it this year, and Trevor Lawrence did regress this year, 100%.
I also feel like his injury was, he didn't fully recover from it, and it showed with his mechanics and everything like
that. Well, it also comes down to practicing, right? Like, he didn't practice for most of the last, like, 5 weeks of the season based off of multiple injuries and everything like that. But I'm out here to make excuses. Brock Purdy regressed in one game. This entire season, Brock Purdy regressed in one game. Trevor Lawrence regressed progressively after injuries built up. over 11 games and then continue to regress over like 5 weeks, 6 weeks, yeah. 7 weeks.
There were other reasons why. There's that three-game losing streak. There was reasons why he didn't probably convert well, do well. Loss of Debo, the weather, the loss of Trent Williams, and then just
I'm not looking for excuses about this one. Like I said, Trevor Lawrence injured. Brock Purdy not injured. Brock Purdy had a couple bad games. All quarterbacks have bad games.
Yeah.
I mean, there are games where Tom Brady threw 4 interceptions and stuff like that. There are games where...
Sure.
I mean, we could literally bring up Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs right now. We've talked about it all season long, about how the Chiefs have been progressively less this year on offense than they had on any other year for the past six years that Patrick Mahomes has been there. And they've regressed on offense, and yet they're still here.
Yeah.
Again.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, for the game against the Packers, it could have gone bad, but he only lost one person, and he was able to keep the team alive in that game to be able to pull it out at the end. And as opposed to other games where what's happened where it could have been far worse and far, like they definitely would have lost
if they didn't. And once again, you won.
Yeah.
Right, I'm not here to talk about it. Like, for me to dissect Brock Purdy and like why he's a terrible quarterback would be like me saying why didn't the Jets win because Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles later this week, right? I don't think Brock Purdy is a terrible quarterback. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm not trying to
trash. No. I get it. Yeah.
There was never one moment in that game against the Packers that I thought that the Niners were going to lose that game.
No, I felt like it was probably going to be fine, but it did make for a compelling TV in the sporting to watch.
So here we are.
Yeah.
So Niners are in the NFC Championship game.
And they'll place the Lions.
Let's talk about the Lions game.
Lions and the Bucks. That was close until the very end where Tampa didn't decide to force them to kick a field goal and like maybe try. But that was really well done. Baker, I think, did really well. Goff did really well. And I just think Goff out-dueled Baker and the team. I don't think there was a mistake. There was a lot of points done by Tampa. I can't really pinpoint anything. I just think Detroit had more firepower to win that game.
Detroit. Where do you want to start? I don't even think half of our one half listeners that we have on this podcast even can talk about Detroit at this point. It's it comes down to the fact that if this game is in Tampa, I think it's much closer.
Yeah. I think it might be much closer. Yeah.
I think this game in Detroit. I mean, eventually Detroit's gonna start.
You got Eminem leading "Lose Yourself" before the game. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, what Baker Mayfield? We talked about this before the game happened. Baker Mayfield texted his buddies from the Rams and said, "What was it like playing in Detroit?"
And they all responded with,
"That was the loudest place I've ever played in my entire life. It was over 103 decibels. 133 decibels is an insane amount.
Isn't that almost like a jet engine?
I've been in mosh pits. I've lit on the stage and music and stuff like that. 133 decibels is incredible. So, I mean, give props to what it is. And you know what? You know what I could take away from this game? Good for Detroit. Good for the fans. Good for the team. Everything like that. You guys are going to the NFC Championship game. Good for Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah.
That dude earned a contract this year.
He
got bounced around. He was on, two, three different teams last year? Two different teams?
Cleveland. No, Carolina.
Uh-huh.
The Rams. So he actually started in Cleveland, probably got cut, signed with the Panthers. And then overnight to the Rams.
Three different teams last year. and he lands in Tampa Bay, following up Tom Brady.
True.
And threw for over 4,000 yards and led him to a divisional game.
And probably the reason why he did well was probably offensive coordinator, Canales, that is now the Panthers head coach.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. But
I mean, if you can fix Baker Mayfield, maybe you can fix Bryce Young.
Yeah. But I did, I did have a hot take of Mayfield would throw 3 touchdowns but still lose. I just felt like there was going to just not be enough for Tampa.
Well, I mean,
and play on the road.
You know, at the end of the day, I think Tampa, you know, congrats to them. Obviously, the better team wins in the playoffs by this point. Detroit is definitely a better team. I mean, Detroit is, and we've kind of talked about this, even coming to the end of the season, Detroit was like the second best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dallas had a higher seeding based off of record-wise and Philly and blah, blah, and what happened to both of those teams. They lost the first round. Right.
Yeah.
I think the Lions were always the second best team in the NFC. The problem is it's not the NFC. The NFC is very top heavy, right? With the Niners and the Lions and the Niners and the Cowboys, Eagles. Yeah, back when the Eagles were 10-1, and then the Cowboys are 16 and a home over 2 years, right?
Yeah.
The problem isn't the NFC being strong. It's problem that the depth isn't there in the NFC.
Yeah.
So when the NFC, I think, drafts the schedule based off the playoffs and everything like that, you kind of already figure what's going to happen.
Hmm.
Or the AFC is a whole different story.
Oh, the AFC is...
Let's jump into...
last Buffalo. Game. Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. They had that game. They could have made it at least an overtime game. But as I have been saying all year, and since ever since Josh Allen's been playing, he doesn't really think sometimes, or maybe he was just thinking really centrally, just get the ball in the end zone. But he had several drag routes, under routes. Just get first downs in that end of that game.
So I was actually out last night. You and I were both out last night talking mm-hmm. to multiple people. I was talking to Joe's Gasolin last night, right, from Gillies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, man, that's on the coaching. It's not on Josh Allen. And I was like, I think you're wrong. So I'm going to call Joe out on this one. He might be one of the quarter listeners we have. But he was saying that Josh Allen isn't at fault for that game.
I see. Uh-huh. How so?
Oh, because it's coaching.
It's because of coaching and not his execution.
His words that way, right?
Yeah. There's and also, luck.
I saw that. I was like, listen, dude, there were some bad coaching decisions in that game. Running DeMar Hamlin out of 4th-and-3 on your own 30 by that point.
That's another podcast episode. But that was
a terrible. And we don't even know if it's really DeMar Hamlin by that point. It could be a body double.
Who knows?
No, we're not that podcast.
The government won't tell us.
I can't do that. Joke about it. I can't be that guy. I can't be that podcast. But DeMar Hamlin on 4th-and-3 on your own 30, when you had the wingers right on the outside by that point, you could have thrown that ball and you could have gotten that ball. You didn't have to go for it. I liked the decision to go for it. I really did. I didn't like the play call that they did from it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if you found a way to disguise someone who is capable of throwing the ball. Or just have Josh Allen go for it on 4th down or something like that.
Punters can throw a ball, dude. Yeah. You see punters throw the ball all the time. Everything like that. Doesn't matter. Regardless of that, the Bills still had a chance even after all of that nonsense.
That preceded KC having a short field, and then they gave it to Mecole Hardman, who fumbled it out of the end zone for a touchback.
Also, can we just say that rule needs to go away.
That rule needs to go away. I actually thought on the side of why not just keep it status quo.
How about about this?
But now I feel like this would be another way to do it.
How about this? You cannot advance a fumble in the NFL.
No.
If I'm running behind you, you hand the ball off to me, and I fumble it behind you by 5 yards, and the ball bounces up five yards by that point, and you pick it up, and you run for 10 yards, you go back to the place that I fumbled the ball.
I've heard this idea is if the ball does that, fumbled out of the end zone like that, it's almost like a grounding call, and you get like 10 yards back because you, you couldn't secure the ball.
Yeah, pull back.
That kind of like adjustment to that rule, I think, is justified.
But once again, if we just go back to like kind of further justifying your point by the point, if we just go back to the point that if you fumble ball, right?
Yeah.
And if I fumble the ball, you cannot advance that ball. The only person that's allowed to advance the ball is the person that fumbled the ball. Which is crazy to me, because when the ball bounces out, it's all wiggly-niggly, by the way.
Yeah, unpredictable.
But you're telling me if I'm reaching for the end zone, and all I have to do is just get the
Just the tip.
Five dudes get the tip across the end zone, the goal line, by that point. Like, you are incentivizing me to get the ball across the end zone with just the tip. But if it gets knocked out of my hands as I'm reaching forward and it goes out of the end zone, the other team gets the ball?
Yeah.
That's one of the stupidest rules.
It feels like stupid.
That still exists. Yeah.
Making it a type of grounding penalty where you get lose yardage for not securing it.
Sure.
I think that.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, regardless of that, right?
DeMar Hamlin, Mecole Hardman still had a chance.
Let's not cherry pick a couple plays that happened in that game. At the end of the game, they still had a chance to win that.
They had, it's the opposite of what Kyle Shanahan did at the end of the first half of the Niner game.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is
They're going for a touchdown.
They were, what, 25 yards out, something like
they
that?
They were on the 30, 32, something like that. They were trying, and they had a first down ready to throw to get Diggs for that drag route. Yeah.
So hear me out, right? You're 30-plus yards out by this point. Instead of, like, getting a first down, moving it along, and there was plenty of time on the clock. It was, like, over a minute.
There was a lot of time still.
Plenty of time on the clock. And instead of, like, getting first downs and inching your way up and up and up, you chose to shoot for the end zone. I mean, Stephon Diggs, I'm sure you're not the 1/5% of people that listen to our podcast. You should have got that ball.
Oh, you mean the really far, the 70-yard pass that Josh Allen threw early in the game?
Uh-huh.
It seemed difficult to catch that, but Diggs is probably known for catching balls like that all the time.
That's why he gets paid to do that job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you're one of the top five receivers in the NFL by this point.
I was more surprised MVS caught the pass that he got.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like, once again, MVS catches his pass, Diggs doesn't. If you're paid as a top five wide receiver in the NFL, like, those are the catches that he didn't make. But even then, I still can't blame Stephon Diggs for it. It was a great pass. And so I'll give Josh Allen all the credit in the world. And you know what? I probably couldn't have caught that pass. But I'm not getting paid the amount of money that Stephon Diggs is getting paid to catch those passes. But let's go to the other one. Where I think it was like Shakir in the end zone?
For that whole sequence? Yeah.
Would he like skip the ball like on the goal line when Shakir's like wide open? Like running through?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where I'm like, all right, it's on Josh Allen. That's where I told Joe last night. I was like, dude, listen, like, you don't want to blame it on Josh Allen. You want to blame it on the coaching, yada, yada, whatever. It's fine. Play calling was terrible going forward, just like we talked about. You could have got the first down. You could have moved it closer to have a better option.
Sure.
A little bit closer. But he was wide open in that end zone. And he skipped that ball about 10 yards short. Right? That's where I put it on Josh Allen.
Well, there's a second down play.
Because you know who makes those throws?
Kyle Allen? Who are you talking about?
No. Like Josh Allen missed that throw. Who makes those throws? Patrick Mahomes makes those throws.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the difference.
And that's why they were in that game as well. Yeah, as you're saying, yeah. Before that, went to Shakir. Like, the second down, I think they had several. They had digs on a drag route. The third down, I could spot two or three people close enough to get that first down or make it a better fourth down play.
Yeah, once it got to, like, third and long and fourth and long by that point, like, you've already made the decision to keep shooting for the end zone as opposed to just moving the ball forward. Coaching comes into that. Coaching. But at the same time, Josh Allen had him in the end zone.
He did.
And he skipped that ball about 10 yards short.
I just couldn't believe it because I swear Buffalo had that could win that game.
Well, no.
And he showed moments and moments that they could.
Now we get the Chiefs.
And we get the Chiefs again now.
Yeah, Chiefs-Ravens.
Chiefs-Ravens.
Which should lead us into our next part of the conversation. Yeah,
Chiefs-Ravens, Niners-Lions.
We'll be back with you in just a bit to keep up with Double Doinks and Sackles teaching you how to football.
I'm learning how to football.
I'm still trying.
All right.
But. And we are back.
We're back.
We're going to preview some games. There's only two of them.
There's only two of them.
At this point. Moving up next week, this week. You got to start with the first one.
Got to start with the first one. I've hemmed and hawed about this, but the Ravens versus the Chiefs. Ravens are the one seed. They look really good in the playoffs. This is like the Lamar Jackson's moment to prove that he's capable of winning playoffs, and he did last year. I keep coming back to the fact that the Ravens really should win this game, and the Chiefs have skated by without enough talent to win. And I thought, based on it's like there's some like curses out there. The team that beats Josh Allen always loses the next game. And there's another one for the 49er game and the Lions. So I actually switched. I actually thought about the Chiefs this week. And then this morning, I thought that this morning. And I actually went back. I think the Ravens are way too talented to lose this game. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But I just feel like there's more paths to victory for the Ravens. And the Ravens are favored about like four points or so.
Four and a half.
I am going to pick the Ravens to win and cover that. I just think they have way too many options. It's going to be close, and maybe I'll be proven wrong that maybe the Chiefs will cover that 4 points. But I just think the Ravens are going to do it this time.
Do you know what the rest of the people picked?
Fernando has picked the Ravens for this game as well. I'll tell you what he picks for the other game shortly. Chris has also picked the Ravens to win and cover this as well.
See, this one's actually really hard for me.
Yeah.
Right? I really don't like either team. And
neither do I, yeah.
You know my history through this entire season. I have not been a Ravens believer on this one. Can someone save us from Brittany Mahomes, Taylor Swift, and Jackson Mahomes?
Don't forget Jason Kelce. He's going to be part of this. He'll probably be part of this later today.
You know, Andrew, I was actually like leaning Ravens on my pick. It really was. Until that moment right there.
Oh, you think...
Jason Kelce is a national treasure. I don't know who didn't watch that game last week, but that man was like hosting up like little girls with Taylor Swift signs and like introducing them, jumping out shirtless, everything like that. We all know someone in our friend group that would be that guy doing that back and forth. It might be me, but we definitely know who it would be.
Yeah.
Now, give me the Chiefs.
Oh boy. Is there anything other reasons besides celebrity that will probably push the Chiefs over?
No, I don't talk about Taylor Swift or that. No, the Chiefs, like, listen, dude, Patrick Mahomes is him. We got to talk about like this earlier, right, in the week, where we're discussing, like, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't get as many rings as Brady does, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if he's able to play for 20 years and he breaks Brady's, like, statistical records, but doesn't get as many rings as Brady does, comes a couple short, let's say, like, 3 or 4 or 5 short, right?
We'll face another, like, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl randomly and lose. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Is Patrick Mahomes still, like, the GOAT? Like, if he breaks all of Brady's records, statistically, but doesn't get as many rings, is he still the GOAT?
I think he is. He's
so you're nodding your head, but it's an audio, you know.
Yeah, I think he's he is getting there to be the GOAT. He hasn't done everything to probably be considered that with the breadth of his career, his length of career, and what he's accomplished. Brady,
I don't know, man. Yeah. He's getting close.
This roster has a turnover at least once for us to see what.
But that's why he's the GOAT. I mean, yeah. How many roster turnovers did Brady have like through like his career as well? Like there were seasons
at least 2 to 3. I feel
there were seasons when Brady like we didn't know who he was throwing the ball to. Yeah. Right? We're not talking about the Randy Moss season and everything like that.
No.
But like,
yeah, Troy Brown 1 year. He had Julian Edelman 1 year.
Right?
Yeah, he had different weapons that he had.
A quote unquote down season from Travis Kelce by this point.
This is definitely this one, yeah.
But like, he still had a great season,
and he's playing like that season didn't happen in the playoffs this past week. He did really well.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. like at the end of the day, like if Patrick Mahomes played his first away game in the playoffs. Last week.
Let's go play the second away game this week against the Ravens.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's an insane stat.
I'm more shocked Fernando didn't know that when he shared that last week. Because I could have sworn, as much as we all love stats, including a stat boy, that he didn't know that. That's crazy. I am picking the Ravens because the Chiefs have to play a near-perfect game with all the people that we weren't really depending upon this season.
No, they don't.
MVS has to play exactly the same way.
No, he doesn't.
He needs he needs Mecole Hardman to actually do something this week.
Don't need that either.
Kelce will do it. Rashee Rice will do it. Everything else, I really feel like with against this Ravens team, everything needs to hit perfectly. And I think they're running out of luck.
Scripture written, dog. I'll tell you right now.
I would love to see the chaos again of a Taylor Swift Super Bowl thing, and maybe that whole rumor of Taylor Swift being a Philadelphia plant to like sabotage the Chiefs doesn't work because the Philadelphia Eagles aren't in it. But still, I would love to see saturation of Taylor Swift.
So Why do you hate Taylor Swift so much?
It's just too much at this point.
I love her, man. I love her death. I love Travis Kelce with her, man.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what it comes down to, man. Despite Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce or anything like that, not Travis Kelce because he's actually on the field.
Yeah, I still think everything needs to hit perfectly for the Chiefs to win.
I don't think it does.
No.
I think everything needs to hit perfectly for the Ravens to win. I really do. Because the Chiefs defense it's the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has had probably his entire career by this point. And he needs it because the offense is probably the worst offense he's had the entire career by this point.
True, yeah.
But he's still putting up numbers. He's still doing it. They're still out there. They're still winning. And they're the AFC Championship game. I don't think the Ravens have it. Give me the Chiefs to win and cover this game.
Well, just win, yeah.
Because you know what, man?
We need the spectacle to continue to
Super Bowl. You need the dark side of the force to win sometimes so the light side can. Now let's move to the light side of the force.
I would love to see the Chiefs go. That'd be hilarious because based on if I'm talking about the next game, second game, Niners and Lions in Santa Clara. The Niners, a 7.5 point favorite. It's gone up a little bit, but it's kind of hovered around there. As a Niners fan in 2020, I want a freaking revenge game against the Chiefs. I don't think this happened. But as for the game, I think with everyone back healthy-ish and with perfect weather, I think the Niners will be able to win. It was going to be a close game because both these teams can put up the offense to kind of make this like a shootout. The Niners' run defense sucks, but everyone but the Detroit's pass defense sucks also. I truly believe that the Niners will have enough just to squeak out a win, and it's going to be nervous for me probably watching this game. Everyone was rooting for the Lions. I think the Niners have what it takes to win this game.
It's everyone's rooting for the Lions is literally everybody that's not a Niners fan.
Yes. It's what it feels like to be a Cowboys fan this week.
No.
Just everyone just going against you.
Because you guys are so good.
I should say, Fernando picked the Lions to win this because of the Kirk Cousins curse. Any team that loses to Kirk Cousins this year does not make it to the Super Bowl. And I believe Chris also said the 49ers would win this game. And I agree with him. 49ers win and cover. Or number 49ers win, Lions cover.
It's 7.5 points?
Yeah. What do you think about how to dissect this game?
Man, I honestly don't know. I don't like dissect it. That's probably why I'm not paying to be a head coach. Probably better as a GM, in my opinion. I think I'd be a great GM and an okay coach. this game is something different. This is probably one of the best NFC Championship games that we've seen for a long time. Outside of last year, what it should have been with the Niners and Philly.
Yeah.
Until Brock tore his UCL and then Josh Johnson got a concussion.
And then Brock had to come back in.
Yeah. And I remember watching the game with you and being like, why can't Brock throw that pass like 5 yards? Well, it turns out he had like a medical reason.
Medical reason.
Same reason why my work was asking me why I can't go back. And then I got an MRI, and they said, you have a ruptured disc.
Yep.
It's terrible. Your back's fucked.
Mm.
So all of that included, it's really hard, man. I feel like the Lions' like run offense is so dynamic, right?
Against
not a great run defense. I think that the Lions could win this game with like Jared Goff throwing under like probably like 21 or 22 passes. Based off of how their run offense works.
So lean heavy on the run and
completions.
Runs, yeah.
I don't mean passes. I mean he's probably gonna throw like 35 or 40 times. But completions. If Jared Goff is over 75% completion rating in this game, the Lions are going to win it.
And they'll have a heavy dose of the running game as well, just based on how they... The 100%. Packers, yeah.
But if Jared Goff is over 75% in this game, Lions win. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe... The Niners are still one of the best teams in football. But it's riding too high, man. It's riding way too high right now. Give me 7.5 points.
Seven and a half about right now.
Shit. Give me the Lions to win this game. I'm sorry.
Lions outright win.
100%.
I guess I'm also expecting myself, in a way of figuring this out, that Jared Goff isn't a great road quarterback, and he's kind of defied that so far for the last playoff run.
You keep waiting on it.
Yeah. Man. Like, and then Dan Campbell and his ability to just go on fourth down, that scares the crap out of me.
100%.
He absolutely is. It's a dangerous, someone's like a wild card.
I mean, Dan Campbell's playing with house money right now.
Yeah, he's, and they can't do anything wrong right now.
Dan Campbell is already a hero in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of whatever happens next, Dan Campbell doesn't have to win a Super Bowl to be a hero in Detroit. If Dan Campbell does win a Super Bowl, they might rename Ford Field as Dan Campbell Field by that point.
Or put up a statue.
I'm putting my money on it right now. He's going to get a statue 100%. They might made it
Dan, like Campbell, Dan Field. Campbell Field. Yeah, probably. I don't know about that, but yeah, maybe. get a key to the city and stuff.
It's been a long time coming for Detroit fans. This might be a heart decision on this one as opposed to like a mental decision, because I think the Niners are the better team, top to bottom. But Detroit is good enough with the offense. And I like the X Factor. I like Dan Campbell over Kyle Shanahan. When it comes down to making the decision to like go over. So you don't make the Super Bowl, you don't win the Super Bowl without like having those decisions.
A killer instinct.
Fourth and 17 on like your own like 12, right? Dan Campbell does that. Kyle Shanahan is not that guy. But, like, you have to have that, like... I mean, to put this in perspective, and, you know, I'm a Jaguars fan, obviously. Doug Peterson beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl for what play that we know? What is the name of the play that we know?
The Philly Special.
Right? You don't win... And even then, I remember watching that Super Bowl, dude. And I won like, I think I won like almost like $8,000 in the Super Bowl. Because I picked Philly to win. I took the overs on a lot of stuff. I think I won close to like $8,000 in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But even with that knowledge and that hope that Philly could win it, when Tom Brady got the ball back on like his like 0-5.
Kind of thought maybe.
Yeah.
Might be over. Yeah. I agree with you. Like, Kyle Shanahan, 28-3, is also known for. Playing like a coward and just, like, not really understanding the time management and letting Brady come back and win that game, win that Super Bowl. I mentioned it earlier, how he played the end of the first half. Scared to death to give Green Bay the ball back with just a little bit, and he forgot to play to actually try to score some points and just kind of play. He made some excuses, and I completely disagree with his reasoning. It's like, oh, we missed a deep pass and it was a third down. He made some really interesting play calls and end up giving Moody, the kicker for the Niners, a really long field goal in the rain to try to kick, and then he missed it. And then, because he loved to get the ball halftime and then get the ball back because he's deferred. That first drive of the third quarter, nothing. He did absolutely nothing happened.
I feel like you should always defer with that boy.
Yeah, but I felt like he...
Especially at
home. He played like a coward in that
first quarter. Sorry. Yeah. Especially at home.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like being like the away team by that point. But especially at home, you let your defense go out there, shut them up, because like... The crowd is up for the defense.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's really quiet during the offense.
Yeah.
So, especially playing at home, dude. Like, I'm going to give my defense like, the chance to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
So, I agree. I can see the Niners just playing timid and just trying to eke out a win, which is why I think that's how they would win this game. They're not going to run it up and play like they're definitely going to play. If they had to, there's ways the Niners play very badly when coming from behind. When they lead, they seem to have less pressure on them.
The Lions played the Chiefs for the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. And everyone counted the Lions up. Like, hey, it was a fun story last year. Remember Jamal Williams?
Yep.
You remember that? Like, we them dogs.
Yep.
And they let him go. That was crazy. I can't believe they let him go. Still can't believe they let Jamal Williams go.
Yeah.
But they beat the Chiefs week one. And they have continued to prove that they are top of the crop, dude. Niners are the toppest of the crop in the NFC. And maybe all football right now. I would take the Niners over the Ravens. I would take the Niners over the Chiefs right now. I would take the Niners over the Lions on a regular season game. Like week 15, week 14, week 13, week 1, week 2, week 4. Doesn't matter. I would take the Niners over the Lions on all of those games.
But this playoff game.
But not this one. Not this one. This one, actually, and I'm going to be curious because I know you know the stats on this. As soon as like ticket sales are done and everything like that.
How many people?
I would be curious how many people are Lions fans that are there in this game.
I feel like it's going to be pretty close because I know a couple people go to this game. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people were trying to look for flights from Detroit to Santa Clara.
And also, like, you guys have what, 5 Super Bowls?
5 Super Bowls, yep. 2 Yep, yeah.
Both of my teams and all of my NFL fandom have made 1 Super Bowl out of both teams.
Yeah. I'm playing
and
as a spoiled.
We got destroyed by...
I'm aware, the Niners. Yeah. I'm speaking as a spoiled Niner fan. This is.
So I will make this agreement right now, like on podcast and that. I am going to go for the Lions. America is going for the Lions right now. Anyone that watches football is going for the Lions right now. Because, you know, kind of fuck the Niners.
Yeah.
However,
I get it.
However, if the Niners do win, I would rather the Niners win another one and continue to push their overall record into it as opposed to the Ravens or the Chiefs next. Let Lamar get his thing. Lamar should 100% win a Super Bowl in his career at one point.
Sure, yeah.
Just not this year.
It's been some Pro Bowl hot takes this year.
No, Pro Bowl chili takes.
Super hot takes.
Oh, do you want to do hot takes?
No, we're not doing hot takes. This is way too late.
You don't want to do hot takes?
Not right now, no.
All right, I'll do it right now.
No. I should say thank you for anyone listening to this point. I'm not sure I'm going to edit this. This is going to be fun to edit in the morning. But thank you. And hopefully we'll have the whole team back for our Super Bowl picks when that happens in a couple weeks. Yeah. So, signing off. Let's go this direction. I'm Jimmy G, the stat boy.
Oh, I'm Travis, still.
And you've been listening to Double Doinks and Cycles.
Teach you how to football.
Have we taught you how to football?
Me or you?
I'm pretending to actually speak from the actual knowledge this time.
The royal we?
The royal we. I think we have.
I hope so. If you're still one of our, you know, 25%... of a person that's listening.
Quarter of a listener.
You know, we appreciate you listening.
I'm really sorry our energy is so low. It is damn 3 a.m. right now.
No.
All right. Have a good week. Enjoy the games. Signing off. Bye-bye.